7 years ago, it didn't take me this long to get ready to preach. Boy, you got a cane, you got a problem. But that's all right. I don't mind. God has blessed me, so what the heck. First of all, I'd like to thank St. Joseph, especially Father Mike, for inviting me to have this celebration. It wasn't my idea. I wanted something small, something quiet. He blew it out of proportion, you know. I don't know what's going on here. But also the people that preparing for the meal afterwards and everything, I really appreciate it. I didn't want it, but I thought, you know, it's not about me. It's about God, His love, and the priesthood. That's what this is all about. You're not celebrating me. I didn't do anything to be here 70 years. God did it all. And the genes of my parents, I guess. I got some of their good genes. They lived long lives, too. So that's probably what the reason is. But I'm here. And so it's not about me. It's mostly about God. It's about His blessings and His love for us. The Eucharist, the Mass. Without the priest, there would no Mass, no Eucharist. Without the priest, there wouldn't be any heavenly liturgy. This we are doing is a heavenly liturgy. It's something that was ordained in heaven. Did you realize that? That this is from God. He wants us to do this. When Moses of the Old Testament would set up the tent, he set up the altar, he blessed the interior, he put up all the statues, everything else, the book and everything. And afterwards, always afterwards, it said Moses did all this just as the word of the Lord commanded, Lord God commanded. He did all this in the Old Testament, the sacrifice and everything, at the word of the Lord. God told him to do this. Isn't that what we're doing here today? We're here because God told us to do this. We have set up this eternal, this heavenly liturgy here. That's what the Mass really is. The people only understood that and realized that, we could get everybody in church. But the problem is, you know, we get older, we get maybe Alzheimer's, or maybe we get dementia, or unfortunately, it would be terrible if we got forgot everything, you know, amnesia. You know what happens in amnesia? Can't remember who you are. Suppose you got hurt in an automobile accident and you take you to the hospital and you wake up, your wife walks in and you say, she said, hi dear, and you say, who are you? And the boys, the children walk in and say, Dad, who are you? They forgot, he has forgotten everything. His past life is gone because he doesn't know who he is. Catholics have forgotten who they are. They don't know that the Mass is a heavenly liturgy, that He's prepared a banquet for us and wants us to participate in this banquet every week at least, and maybe sometimes during the week. It's a banquet. God foretold it in the book of Isaiah. If you'll pardon me here, I'll read. This is that one chapter 25 from Isaiah. The Lord my God, you are, and I'll extol you and praise you. Verse 6 of 25 says, on this mountain, and he's talking about Zion, but today we can say on this mountain, this is a mountain, we're in his church here, or in Rome, you're on the Mount of Vatican Hill side, on this mountain, the Lord of hosts will provide for all peoples, not just the Jews, but for everybody. A feast of rich food and choice wines, juicy, rich food and pure, choice wines. He said, the day is coming. Now, this is long before Christ. This is a couple hundred years before Christ, a couple centuries. And he's telling the people, the Jews, that someday God's going to feed the world. He's going to feed even the Gentiles, not just you Jews, but all the Gentiles. Juicy foods and rich, choice wines. How many people from South America, Central, would love to come here and have a feast like Thanksgiving? We're called together on Thanksgiving because we celebrate with our family, you know. And God has prepared a banquet better than Thanksgiving. Boy, turkey, what's turkey, you know, who cares? Or apple pie, or maybe pumpkin pie. Well, that's nice. But what would Thanksgiving be without the family there? You know, that's what Thanksgiving's all about. Family. But it's not just the food. It's nice to celebrate. But it's family. That's what this Thanksgiving is all about. And that's why we're here, because we're family. People have told me before, some people, Catholics, well, I don't go to church much anymore. I could do better in the woods. I can go out and be among the woods and pray to God. I just feel closer to God out there. And I can pray to Him. And I feel wonderful out there. And I feel better out there. Well, that's nice. We need private prayer. We need meditation. We have to be close to God in our private prayer. That's wonderful. Jesus did that. He'd go off in the mountains alone and spend all night in private prayer. Wonderful. But he also went to the temple. He also went to church. And that's why we're here. Because we need to go to church and worship with God, our family. This is a heavenly liturgy, and it's not just for one person. It's for all of us. God wants His children to be gathered together to praise Him. That's what heavenly liturgy is. The angels and saints praise God in heaven. That's what liturgy is. Praising God, thanking God, glorifying God. That's what we do here. And we have a heavenly liturgy here, just as great, probably greater than they have in heaven. They don't have Jesus sacrificed again on the altar. They don't have Him. The angels can't, that's what one of the Saint Faustina said, probably, if you know who Faustina is again, but anyway, Saint Faustina said, probably the angels envy us because they can't receive God. But they don't have a body. We have a body. We can receive God. He can come right into us. And that's what's going to happen shortly. That's what the Mass is. A heavenly liturgy that God ordained for us to praise Him and to feed us. A banquet. A banquet. That's what we got here. That doesn't look like a banquet. A host and a little wine and a chalice. What? A banquet? Yes. If you have the eyes of faith, it's a banquet. It's God Himself. Can't get anything better than that. What does faith tell us, you know? Faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and receives the impossible. Isn't that beautiful? That's what we do. We believe. You know, and because we believe, we see the invisible. We know that it's God. We see God here. That's what the two disciples on the road to Emmaus said, didn't they? We saw the Lord. We received the Lord in the breaking of the bread. In the breaking, that was their term in those days for Mass. They didn't say Mass. They didn't know what Mass. They said, we went to Mass. What's Mass? They said, we went to the breaking of bread. Oh, yeah. They went to Mass. That's what breaking of the bread meant. Faith sees the impossible, believes in the incredible, and receives the impossible. We are receiving God. That's what priesthood is. And without the priesthood, you wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have this. We wouldn't have all the sacraments. So it is a blessing to be a priest for 70 years, to be able to say Mass and bring down God upon the altar. That's what the priest is all about. That's what this is all about. It's not about me. It's about the priesthood. The priesthood of Christ. I stand for Christ when I stand here. I say His words. It's His words and powerful words that change that bread and wine to the body and blood of Christ. How powerful Jesus was one day when He was in the boat and the water was coming in. The water was in the boat filling up. They're bailing out water and they can't do it fast enough. And then they say, Jesus, yeah, save us. We're going down. He wakes up. Oh, it's quiet. He gets up there at the start of the boat and says, shut up. Quiet. Still. No wind. No waves. No thunder. No lightning. The moon's out, the stars are out, it's clear, the sea is like a glass, it's a pure, and they're all standing there wet with their buckets in their hand. Who is this that even the winds and the sea obey Him? The many miracles that Jesus worked, why, how did He do? The Word of God. God's Word is powerful. When He says something, in the beginning, He created the world. He said, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. Or He went on creating the rest of the world too, as He created mankind. When God says something, it happens. And when Jesus said, this is my body, this is my blood, it happens. And he says to the Father, you do what I have said. Do what I have done. Remember me. That's what memory does. It helps us to remember who Jesus is and what we're doing at the Mass because we're Catholic. Because we receive God, this banquet. That's what it's all about. So when Jesus says today to the apostles, you have not chosen me, I have chosen you. Yes, God chose me. Chose me to be his priest. And fortunately, I've been a priest for 70 years. He's blessed me. But you know, those words are not just for me. They're for you. You have not chosen me, I have chosen you. He said that to the apostle last supper. But he says that to you too. You didn't choose me. You're here not because you chose me. I chose you. I want you here. I want you to be have life so you can be with me for all eternity. You did not choose me. I chose you. Did you ever think of that? We think about that, the apostle, sure, okay, God, sure. No, that's not, that isn't where it stops. You have to realize you're just as important as I am to God. You are. All of you, every one of you, are important to God. He has chosen, you didn't choose him. He chose you. He didn't have to create you. But you know, from all eternity, and of course, that goes back before the creation of the universe, before the Big Bang, which was 13.8 billion years ago, I think. That's what they say. I don't know how they found, figured that out, but they did. 13.8 billion years ago was the Big Bang where it all started. Before that, he was thinking about us. He was thinking about you. He wanted you. If he didn't want you, you wouldn't be here. But he thought about you. Can you imagine that? 13 billion! Well, your parents didn't know you 100 years ago. They weren't thinking about you. Or maybe they were. I don't know. But I don't think so. Anyway, God was before the Big Bang. Now, I can understand 50 years, even maybe 90 years, 100 years. 1,000 years is kind of hard for me to understand. 1,000, that's a long time. When you talk about 1,000,000 years, 100 million years ago when the dinosaurs roamed the earth, that's a long time ago. I'm not talking about millions of years. I'm talking about billions of years. Billions. Can you imagine? I can't. I don't know what that means. But if you can, that's only the first day of eternity. One day in God's presence. That's eternity. That's only the first day. Then you got billions of years more. That's what we're going for. That's what God created you for. To be with him forever in heaven. Because you participate in the liturgy of the word, in this divine liturgy. You feed yourself with God, and he's going to keep you safe. That's what he said. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood will have life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Wow. Can we ask for that anymore? No. How can we ask for anything more? To be with God forever? That's why he created us, to be with him forever. Sometimes we think we know more than God. Or at least we think we can, if we don't know more than God, at least we think we know better than God. Adam and Eve did. Eve thought, well, she knew better than God. The devil said, you don't have to do what God says. You can eat the fruit of that tree. What's the matter with the fruit of that tree? Hey, don't listen to her. Hey, you can do what you want to do. She said, yeah, I can do what I want to do. I will do that. I'm going to eat the fruit of that tree. And look what happened, you know. She thought she knew better than God. God said, don't eat the fruit of that tree. I'm telling you, it's poison. Oh, the poison. That's what the devil, you're the poison, you know. We think we know better than God sometimes. Even Martha and Mary and Lazarus, they loved Jesus. He stopped at their house frequently. He was a close friend of theirs, and he was dying. And Jesus came to visit him and left. Didn't hear him. Healed everybody else. Everybody else. I mean, he'd walk along in a shadow and heal everybody. But he didn't heal Lazarus, his close friend. I mean, he loved him. I mean, they were very close. He had at least two Passover feasts with them. And I don't know how many times he stayed there and how many meals he had with them. And he didn't heal them. Martha and Mary are probably flabbergasted. And finally, one last time, they said, send word that he's dying. Just tell him he's dying. And Jesus stayed around for 4 more days until Lazarus died. Then after 4 days, he said, let's go to Lazarus. He's sleeping. And they said, sleepy? I hope so. No, he said, he's dead. But we're going to raise him to life. So he comes. And why did he let him die? Because he has a better idea. God's always got a better idea. We think we know better. God's got the better idea. Why? He's going to raise him to life so that people, they will have a better faith in Jesus and the people will have a better faith. Now, he had to have Lazarus and Martha and Mary to trust him. That's our problem. Got to trust God. We don't trust him at times. No, I'll take care of this, God. You just go your way. Let me handle this, will you? We don't do a very good job. That's what Martha and Mary said. Lord, do something, you know. Or the people in the boat. God, do something, you know. Let's let God handle things. He'll handle things all right. It's beautiful that we're here. We should be here every Sunday or even more frequently if possible. This is a heavenly liturgy. We have something the angels can't do. We're going to renew the sacrifice of Calvary here. Not only are we going to receive the communion, God himself into our body and soul, we're going to honor God with praise and thanksgiving, this meal. And it's a great meal. We just have to have faith to see this. And if we have faith, we will see it, and we will come every Sunday, always, because God asks us to, as his family, as his children, come every Sunday and worship me. Come all the time. Because I want you here to appreciate. You know, what are we going to pay God to get to heaven? What are we going to give God that he's done so much for us, offers us heaven? What can we give God? $1,000? $1,000,000? We could give $1,000,000. I mean, he says, if I'm going to take you to heaven, I want $1,000,000. I don't think many of us will make it, but he didn't ask for any money. Well, you know what he wants? Our thanks. That's all he wants. Our appreciation. Do you ever say thank God? Get up in the morning and say, oh, what a wonderful world. You know, a lot of people in the world think, oh, this world, it stinks, you know, it's awful. So look around. The world is beautiful. We got trees, we got flowers, especially springtime of the year, you know. It's beautiful. Suppose he put us on Mars. There's nothing on Mars. Well, he could have put us there. We had a hard time making it there. But he gives this beautiful world of grass, trees, flowers, food, a family. Wow. He's given the animals, all the birds, the different birds, the elephants, big, huge elephants, you know, and the lions and tigers, or cats or dogs. Wow. All these different animals. He didn't want us to be bored. We could have been if we were on Mars, but we're here. We're on earth. This is our home. Hopefully not forever, but for a short time, maybe not even 100 years or 70 years, but forever in heaven. That's what it's all about. That's what God wants more than anything. That's why he created you. That's why he chose you. You didn't choose him. He chose you. He thought of you from the beginning of the world. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't God wonderful? It's just unbelievable. It really, that's what faith tells us. And we have to have that faith if we're going to really believe it. You know what the Bible is? That's where we'll find all this. The Bible, B-I-B-L-E. Someone says, the Bible, if you look at those words, they simply mean basic instructions before leaving earth. It tells us how to get to heaven. Basic instructions before leaving earth. B-I-B, basic instructions before B-L-E, leaving earth. Basic instruction before leaving. So we won't get lost. We're on the right road going to heaven. Keep it handy. Keep the Bible handy. Read it, apply it. Know those instructions. And you won't get lost navigating through all this world and of the universe, you know, to get to God's home. You will arrive there at the brightest star in the heavens, where your loving Father is waiting for you.